This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
On Joy Now, Transpositions. A safe place for trans communities, our friends and our allies to share our experiences. We'll discuss our issues, our challenges and our successes. We'll occasionally make you cry and hopefully we'll educate and inspire you. Welcome to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. My name is Michelle, and tonight we're turning up the heat. We're talking about sex and lifestyles. Tonight's focus, some leather, a bit of kink, and BDSM. I felt things were getting a bit too clinical, and I needed to get a bit of stress relief going here, so I invited my friend Lorenzo Joseph, who is the president of Sydney Leather Pride, to come have a chat with me. Hello. Are you, Lorenzo?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. How's your trip down from Sydney?
Fantastic. I've been catching up with old friends and doing a little bit of work down here.
Yeah. Enjoying being back down here?
Yes, loving it. I just love Melbourne. I love the cold streets as I walk down them today. I actually miss them. So
yeah. You seem a bit sort of disoriented as we caught up and had a bit of a chat and a bit of dinner and just because we actually met not too long ago at Sundaylicious, I think it was.
That's right.
Yeah. And it was just kind of funny watching you kind of spin around and
yeah, I couldn't believe it how I didn't know where I was for a second. Must have been the dinner.
It must have been the dinner. Yeah. Well, we definitely had a nice heated conversation while we were having our dinner. And so we do have a lot to discuss and planning to get through about all of this. This is Michelle. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. Tonight, again, we are talking leather, a bit of kink, and some BDSM, joined here by my friend Lorenzo Joseph, who is the president of Sydney Leather Pride. Hi again, Lorenzo.
Yes, we've just finished Mardi Gras, and that was pretty wild. And this year we had something like 15 puppies running up Oxford Street, panting away. They were totally adorable. But what was the best part was the sound system broke down, so there came this giant leather cap with a giant, huge moustache, because the theme was get a mo.
Oh, okay.
So everybody had a mo, and they walked up in silence. And it was very foreboding. I was very proud president. So it was really wonderful watching.
My babies.
Yeah, it was like my children. Oh, my God. And it was just this giant Sydney Leather Pride, you know, symbol that came up with a giant. They did an amazing job. So
I had
a tear in my eye. Big daddy, you know.
Yeah, definitely a big daddy.
Yeah.
Now, Lorenzo, I'd love to know a little bit more about yourself. Tell everyone about yourself, where you come from.
Well, I'm a Melbourneer. The thing in the kink scene in Sydney, they needed a little bit of Melbourne culture. They needed a little bit of etiquette and manners up there. They're a bit wild, those people up in Sydney. So they appointed me president. I was only there 2 years. I escaped a love romance, you know.
And it
was in the time that I was transitioning, very early transitioning. I went to Sydney, had to get away from the crowds.
Now, as everyone probably doesn't know, those who don't know you, Lorenzo is a trans man.
Yes, definitely. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Lower the voice just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit more. I used to, in the early days, walk around with a really deep voice, but now I sound gay. It's just bizarre. So anyway, I'm from Melbourne. I was born in Carlton, raised in Preston by lesbians.
Oh.
Oh, didn't know that till now, did you?
No, I didn't till now.
Yes, my mother left my father for a woman, butch woman. And she was in charge of the nursing union. So I was raised in a very social justice family. And came out, I think, when I was about 8.
Yeah.
I didn't come out as a lesbian at that point. I get confused sometimes myself. I came out as I used to tie my boyfriend up, who had long, blonde, flowing hair. And his name, I won't say his name. I better not say that. Anyway, he had long, blonde, flowing hair. And I used to tie him up with my coat hangers.
Oh.
And he really enjoyed it. And so, I think that was my coming out as a, you know, tying someone of bondage, discipline, SM, sadomasochism.
And it was with a boyfriend as well. So wasn't you weren't even a lesbian yet? You weren't even trans?
I wasn't. I didn't know what I was. But we played strip for a while with Spin the Bottle. And once I saw his erection, I said, there's no way that's going anywhere in me. So, you know. It went on from there.
So you, trans man, a little bit of backstory there, and you got into leather. Now, one of the things that I was really curious about with coming into this sort of segment was, again, I've lived a pretty much kind of a vanilla lifestyle. Mm. I had my level of chocolate that was in there as well, but I don't really want to go there. But I noticed when coming in and coming out and dealt with a lot of trans men that there was this scene of leather, and I wasn't too sure what leather was. And especially with all the, I know we joke and we say 50 shades of beige, but it's sparked a lot of people's curiosity around BDSM as well. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize the two were related. Mm. And so how did you get into leather? So it was the tying up your young boyfriend and...
Yes, and I was very much did boy things, and I liked motorbikes, and I loved Elvis Presley. Mm. I mean, I'm not going to admit my age, but I was in love with Elvis, and he wore leather, and I just thought he was the sexiest thing, and I wanted to be him. I didn't want to have sex with him.
Yeah,
I wanted to, and I think, you know, I wear my collar up.
So we're talking like Elvis, the 68 comeback special.
Yeah, the 68. Yeah, all in the round, you know, and with regards to that, there was a whole lot of motorcycle at that point in time. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of motorcycle stuff coming out of America as well. And the first time I heard my Harley Davidson was when I decided that was it for me. I was going to wear leather. And once I put it on, something in me, there was this power surge that happened, and I felt the animal on me. So there was a lot of love and a lot of care that I took with the leather, because I realized that it was once a living creature. And that was when the beginning of my spirituality with leather began. You know, I never took leather for granted as well, because it was leather pants, leather jacket, leather shirt, leather hat, leather gloves. And I really actually was wanting to really take care of it. My brother was in the Air Force, and he had a uniform fetish. My brother was gay. He passed away about 20. He was in the first wave of the AIDS epidemic, which was very sad. But that whole era where the very strong women, I was living in San Francisco at that time as well, and all the strong lesbian women, and at that point I was a very butch lesbian, you know, diesel, you know, what are you looking at, mate, type. I think I was butcher then than I am now, actually. When that wave happened, it was really about all of us coming together as a community. And that's when I really got that the leather community, and in particular the straight leather community as well, really came together. I saw the leather scene. I began to be taken to places where there was body bags and handcuffs and things like that. So they very gently introduced me into aspects of restraint and things like that. Yeah, it was great. It was a really lovely period of my life in Sarah. It was a very sad period with the AIDS epidemic at full flight as it was. But we all worked as a community, and we were all clean and sober, and we all, the Quilt Project when it started, and it was a fantastic place to be. And the BDSM community was really strong with regards to health and community and making, and you're looking after each other. And they still are today with regards to anything that happens.
Oh, lovely. Well, I'd love to go touch more a bit on that, about the community and things like that. You're listening to Transpositions. This is Michelle with my special guest, Lorenzo Joseph. Well, tonight we're talking kink, BDSM, leather. Now, just before we're talking about a bit of the community and getting like BDSM, can you tell me a bit more about Sydney Leather Pride and what actually it is, and what do you do?
Sydney Leather Pride started 22 years ago when I think it was four or six men got together. It was probably around the period of the AIDS epidemic when people started coming together in groups. They also wanted the association to support gay, lesbian, bisexual, trans people and to educate, to give a positive education around BDSM as a culture, and the association to promote education, and that it's not a freak out, you know, we're all crazy type freaks, type people. So there's a lot of etiquette, there's a lot of manners, there's a lot of sophistication, there's a lot of art involved in the BDSM world, and we do that by having a yearly leather week. We support Vic Leather here, which they're going through, you know, I think it's their first few years, but I spent a bit of time at their meet and greet. We have cocktail parties, we have a leather week, we have an incredible march. It was just, we only had two spots left. It's always it's a very vibrant community, but it's also a very diverse community. Not everybody likes each other in the world, and but there's a respect. So we have, it's always, we really promote consensual and sane play.
Nice.
Which is really important to bring a newcomer in.
Well, you were talking, remember we were talking before, and I had said I was used to the culture of leather being more of a, well, I'd associate with like bikies or just with a bit of the gay scene, and you were saying before about, you know, the Elvis, the 68 special, that, you know, that they're all in black and, and more of like the culture of a look. But then we dug deeper into getting into, say, BDSM and talking kink. And you were mentioning some of the get-togethers and how there's a lot of that etiquette and how beautiful it was. And I was like, wow, I never really thought of this. I mean, like you said,
well, we have some beautiful masters, and there's quite a few of them. Master Anthony, if you're listening, he's in Melbourne. He's a Sydney man, and he, I think he won Mr. Sydney Leather, and he went to international Mr. Leather, where it's a big, all countries compete. There's also Ms. Leather. We have in Sydney a Ms. Leather, Ms. Lydia, who became second runner-up, and prior to that, Gabrielle Antolovich, who was Ms. International Leather, first Australian, but she was Miss San Jose, first of all.
So those events, what do they do to become Mr. or Ms. or International Leather?
Well, it's about them working in the community. There's a really strong emphasis on supporting the community, the gay, lesbian, bisexual, trans, and all that community, but also that their etiquette is there. They're really strong into service and giving to the community and education of this beautiful lifestyle. Okay. It is a really beautiful life. A lot of people think that it's aggression or violence. It's not. So I was talking to you earlier on, we have cocktail parties in Sydney. Now, you might have a master sitting there smoking his cigar, and he's got his lovely submissive there with an ashtray. Sometimes if it gets a little bit heavier, the ashtray could not necessarily be a ashtray. But there's also, when a woman who's really beautifully dressed walks in and she's obviously put a lot of effort and she's looking beautiful, the etiquette of the men and the women to actually greet her, a newcomer that might be there, like yourself, Michelle. I'm inviting you up for our next cocktail party. You will be welcome. You'll be looked after. The men there will greet you. And there's also, it's not just gay, you know, isn't that? Yeah. There is, it's a beautiful flow. And it's basically, if someone's dominant and someone's submissive, they will naturally attract. The gender has nothing to do with it. Because when I first was voted in as president of Sydney Pride Leather, they thought I was a gay man, all the men. So then they said, you might have to, they said to one of the people there, you might have to introduce Lorenzo to the lesbians.
Oh.
And somebody said, I think you'll find that Loz knows all the lesbians. So they hadn't worked that out. So there was a bit of, you know.
How did they respond to that?
There was some positive and there was some negative response. It was really interesting, actually. It was like, what? There's a woman? I went, no. And sometimes at committee meetings, I get called she still. And, you know, I'm not that, look at me, hey, you know. So it's like,
she? You don't look like a woman. Like,
I know.
The
I
gay
know.
Man thing with the whole hands, you know. That's
the
thing.
Gay man thing's happening. And so I was in total horror and shock about when that happened at the Imperial, getting somebody trying to pick me up. I said, I'm not gay, you know. What do you mean you're not gay? Why are you at a gay hotel? And I said, I used to be gay. And the used-to-be gay started to sound gay. It was a modern family moment.
So it sounded like it.
Yeah, it was. It was very
he still wanted to take you home too.
Well, he still did after all of that. So the thing is that the association and the Sydney Leather Pride, it also, I just wanted to mention, it started from a bunch of leather men. Mm. And there's a lot of etiquette in the leather man world, the gay leather man world. And it was a motorcycle club that were called the Dolphins. That's what they were called. Now, their logo, the dolphin, sort of, it was very phallic.
Okay.
So there was a bit of a code. So there was lots of secret codes amongst men and gay men at that time. And there's a thing called the old guard. Okay. And that's where we start to look at etiquette. You'll find a lot of gay men of the old guard in particular. They will treat you with the love and the care and the respect.
You're really trying to recruit me here, aren't you, Liam? Yeah.
That you require.
I might have to go and take you up on this one. just for the scientific purposes, of course.
The scientific, of course, yeah.
Now, do you find there's a lot of trans folk within this community?
There is a lot of trans people in the BDSM community. Hello to all of them that didn't show up tonight. I love you all. Wait till I see you. There's in Melbourne yourself, you have Mr. International Trans Leather, D, Master D, and he's a great guy. There's also Hunter. Hunter is notorious, and he was meant to be here, but he hasn't been well. He sends his apologies. And there's a whole bunch of other trans men as well that I just don't know. I know some of them, but when you're trans, you don't necessarily hang out with other trans people. Mm. So I'm not one that I'll just sort of float around the universe.
Well, that's good, because I find a lot of situations, a lot of trans do tend to gravitate towards each other, or, different genders kind of stick to each other. So, so if I were to come to, say, an event of yours, where would I go first? Where would you recommend me to go first?
Well, if you're in Melbourne, well, of course, there's a boat, and some people, love a boat and some people don't love a boat. But I think it's a really nice, gentle place to go. There's provocation. It's a bit sort of hardcore. There's more sort of you'll see more bondage. You'll see more stuff happening. There's also Vic Leather, and I would go to a meet and greet at Vic Leather. That's fantastic. If you're a man, go to the Laird. They will certainly sort you out there. Thursday night is the Spit and Polish, and I've been there. And
what is the Spit and Polish?
Well, it's the boot blackers. Now, that's a whole fetish. Okay. So the boot blackers will shine your boots and spit on them and kiss them, and if you let them. Okay, but they do it because of the love of it. So it's a bit of a foot fetish.
Interesting.
Yep. There's many fetishes in the world as well. Some people, just being trans, some people perceive as a fetish. So.
Trans and leather. Geez, I'll walk in, their minds will explode.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing that changes too, I think, with the trans stuff is that you find, for me, as a lesbian, it was sort of very insular. All of us lesbians hung out together and played pool and chased after the good looking girls and did all of that. But since transitioning, I've got everyone, I've got women ringing me up saying, I want to have sex with you. I've got, I want to do this with you. I want to do that with you. It's like, it's a very interesting what's actually happened. So my whole social life has changed. Yeah.
Well, you're also the big cheese too, so.
Oh, yeah, the big chief. Yeah. But the thing that was really funny, which Melbourne should be very proud that the first trans man in Sydney to be in charge of leather, I'm from Melbourne, but it only took me 1 year. Mm. So, and I still believe it's because, there's a slight cultural change that needs to happen around the perception of BDSM, and that's why I was put in that position.
Well, the trans musicians on Joy 94.9, you're listening to Michelle and my special guest, Lorenzo Joseph. Now, Lorenzo's kind of trying to recruit me to come to to one of his events and be
tall and gorgeous.
Yeah. But from my understanding, I got to keep a pocket full of handkerchiefs to choose what I want. Now, I do have a couple
pink
messages.
Green,
pink and green?
Yeah.
Okay, what are pink and green?
Pink's nipple torture.
Okay.
And green, if it's Hunter Green, it's daddy's boy.
Okay.
Mint green is mummy, mummy's girl or boy. So
interesting.
Yeah, black BDSM. We've quite everyone in here was quite fascinated when I said grey is for gunplay.
Oh yeah, because what are some of the? We'll get the messages later. Mm-hmm. What are some of the subcategories you find within BDSM then? So what are some of the more?
We were talking about there was some, I think somebody talked about animal spirits who sent a question, and there's something like plushies and furries and people running around on fair day at in Sydney. There was a lot of there was a fox chasing me around, and he was very beautiful. He was kept wiggling his tail at me and. He was just wanting to play. So
they actually dress up in like animal fur? Or?
Yeah, they wear a whole costume.
Okay.
Yeah, bears and there's dogs and...
Lions and tigers and bears.
Well, you can be whatever you like. In America in particular, there's a furfy convention.
Okay.
I've always wanted to go to it, yeah.
So obviously there's a lot of different fetishes within...
There is, yeah. Well, of course there's the leather and then there's, you know, the rubber. People that really love to be constrained. There's bondage. People mm-hmm. love to be tied up. People that love to be handcuffed. Some people just love to be dominated and consumed.
Okay.
And, you know, totally eaten alive, so to speak. and, you know, to surrender to that. Then there's the etiquettes, you know, the 1950 housewife where, you know, she loves to make the cup of tea, or it could be a man who loves to be a butler. It's very, very, and, you know, if you look at the aristocratic system in England, you know, it is all very kinky, the whole thing.
Well, it gets back to, like, even the housewives, where they would make the cup of tea, but then the husbands would take them over their knee and
spank them. Yes, when I was a psychotherapist, well, I still am, but, you know, for this program, we won't talk about that. But, you know, I used to have a lot of older women say that they really miss their husbands. And I say, what do you miss when they passed away? What do you miss about them? And, well, he used to put me over his knee and spank me when I did something wrong. Oh. And I'd say, how did you feel about that? You know, it was my feminist years thinking, oh, my God, this is terrible. And she said, oh, well, it really was really lovely. It turned me on and it showed me how strong he was as a man. And I'm like, okay. She misses being spanked, you know. And
as a feminist, you're inside going, what the hell's
my
wrong
feminist
you?
Head's going, oh, my God, you know, this is really bad. These men are abusing women. But she said it was a really beautiful part of their love relationship.
And she would just say, yes, sir, may I please have another?
Yeah, and he... don't you do that again.
So, one lump or two.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was a bit like that. So, and vice versa, the women, you know, disciplining their husbands for, you know, all sorts of things.
Oh, so. Damn. Interesting. Yeah. Mm. Now, we were talking about, you know, was finding your spirit animal part of being in the leather community?
It is. You know, there's bear spirit, panther spirit, wolf spirit. It depends where you go and look for the spirit, but there's a very big bear culture out there. You know, in the bears had their whole bar open the 3 weeks over Mardi Gras, and next year Sydney Leather Prize hoping to have a leather bar for open for 3 weeks and opening one at least on a Friday night somewhere for an hour or two. Mm-hmm. And you know, really building the community. The Laird is a very strong leather community here because of the male-only aspect to it.
It's quite so, interesting.
Yeah, it is. That would, I don't think that can happen in Sydney because of the laws and stuff. But it's what's interesting about Sydney in particular, it has an interesting queer culture, and as Melbourne does too, but the cities, as we know, are very different.
Well, so. with the different events that run, so because there's different laws and stuff that can happen at different events. So you were saying before in, was it New South Wales or in Sydney, that you can't have sex on the premises.
No, you can't.
Where in Victoria...
There's definitely no sex on premises anywhere.
There's no champagne
at a Sydney Leather Pride event. Definitely none at all.
None.
I don't lie either.
but it's legal to happen in Victoria.
Yes, that's correct.
Because I know like a lot of different scenes. Like I have friends who are in the swinging scene, and they were telling me about, you know, different events they've gone to. And
yes,
you
know. So that's why I think there in Sydney there's a lot more etiquette involved. And you know, like the cocktail, I keep pushing. That's my favourite thing.
Yeah.
But then there is dirty the Dirty Dance, which is a dance party, things like that that people can go to as well, where there's an accumulation of leather women and leather men. We've got some very strong leather women in and leather men in Melbourne, but we equally have in Sydney as well, and they come from a range and a spectrum of different backgrounds.
But you're saying some like this really perked my ears. What you're saying was a lot like, was that movie, was it Eyes Wide Shut?
Yes, I was watching Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman.
Hmm.
Yeah, where they were both doctors. So, and he ends up in some weird cult with wearing masks and having sex, and she's becoming more neurotic. So,
the cult part's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So, do you find there's a lot of a fetishism of trans people within this era, or what are your feelings on that? If there is.
There is, but it is changing. It's just today I had an email from a trans woman who prefers to stay in his masculine body.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves wearing high heels and stockings. And I invited him. He said, "Look, am I allowed to come to the next cocktail party dressed like that?" I said, "Oh my God, of course you are." So Sydney Leather Pride has... welcomes people, but he was telling me as well in the email that he's the fear of being fetishized and, you know, and having, you know, being abused at either he doesn't quite fit with gay men, so he feels that he'll be abused there. He can't go out to a heterosexual bar, but also within that, he's also talked about how he has been fetishized, and I've personally found that myself, but I've enjoyed it. Yeah. So,
and to make sure people understand that when we're talking, because you're doing trans woman who's, and you're using the male pronoun, and we're using the male pronoun because that person chose to stay and use the male pronoun themselves. That's
why we correct.
That's, you know, we try to be very conscious of using the proper pronouns for things. So,
well, this person, he would be called trans woman, but he likes to be called he.
Yeah.
So it was, took me a while to get my head around it too. So, but you just do have to make sure, because that's where he's at. And that's where he wants to be at. For me, it's like my sister still calls me she. My stepmother still calls me she. When my father was dying earlier on this year, you know, the nurses would say, "Oh, we didn't," or even at his funeral, when I spoke at his funeral, you know, "Oh, we didn't know that Dirk had another son."
Mm.
And I went, yeah, and then his friend of 60 years came up to me and said, "I like you better as a man. You're so handsome now, aren't you?" So it was, you know, people, I just allow people to do, personally myself, you know, I don't get hung up in being misgendered or whatever. It's just people have known me as a very powerful woman for 50 years. Oh, I'm giving away my age. So the last 5 years, you know, I'm not going to worry about that type of stuff.
Yeah, so. I think that's where you and I really kind of clicked on that, because I don't overly stress about the pronouns as well.
No.
And sometimes people slip and use my old name, or like you and I were talking about even showing old photos, and you know, it is what it is, and I'm proud of.
There's a lot of trans men that are in the gay community now in Sydney, and they're gorgeous, you know, beautiful. They fit right in, and there's some people that, you know, are searching still. But there is, you know, a lot of people that just become curious about it. And there is, I think, some transphobia that happens, particularly around gay clubs. You know, they, at one point, you had to lift your shirt up, and if you had a line where the scar is, if you had your breasts removed, you weren't allowed in, or if you had a binder.
Oh.
That happened in Sydney.
Oh, that's not very nice.
So, but most establishments now are quite good. So,
oh, that's very good to hear. Mm. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. Now, constantly all night, Joseph's still trying to go and recruit me to come down. And
well, you look good in that leather corset, my friend. Those boots need a bit of a polish,
you.
Though.
I did wear it just for you, darling.
Yeah, yeah. So. And there's somebody sitting over there in a beautiful pink leather harness.
Not me. Look, I wanted to go and open up to the rest of the room. I've got Patrick on panel. Megan's joined us last minute tonight, and I wanted to open to the room to ask more questions about a bit of the leather community and BDSM and a bit of kink. So go ahead, guys. Do you have anything, Patrick?
As the sister in this one, it's going to be quite fun, because what I'm curious to know, because you did mention earlier in the program that there was this beautiful this fluidity throughout the leather scene, particularly about gender, where, you know, it's beyond just, you know, heterosexual and same-sex attracted. And from what I gather in the history of leather, that it really was very male, cisgender, same-sex focus at the beginning. So how that developed into being more open, and that we do think a lot about the leather scene being part of the GLBTIQ community especially.
It all began, we can take our origin, the BDSM origins, right back to probably aristocratic times. But in America in particular, there was a thing called the Old Guard. And the Old Guard was the leather men who had their secret codes and things like that. And then leather became a fetish. And then it's been continued on and refined decade after decade. The harness has been a symbol of, you know, the male sexuality. Tom of Finland. Tom of Finland is very sad. We had cupcakes with Tom of Finland.
I'd eat that.
My little cupcake in Darlinghurst, my dear friend Tim Ball. He's a lovely, submissive leather man. Sorry, Tim, I've just outed you. And you can bring everything together. It's the etiquette of the Old Guard that is actually comes through the leather scene, and it's about, and it started off with men, and the women have certainly joined in, but it is much bigger and more dominant because in the male community, because of the domination of the patriarchy. And that's my feminist call on that.
But it's the truth. So
it is the truth, yeah. Yes. You know, and men, for me, you know, there's a lot of male privilege that I'm now receiving. And so if I go out to a gay male club, you know, they just expect me to be gay, you know, and things like that. And I'm there representing Sydney Leather Pride, not necessarily that I'm gay or because I'm trans, I'm gay or I'm straight or whatever. So it doesn't really matter. So.
It was interesting actually watching, like, the two of us out at dinner and, like, people just bashing into me and just kind of, like, not trying to get out of my way. Where you walking around, they pretty much got out of your way, but, you know, you were sauntering with your little scarf and your little phone and kind of...
That's about the patriarchy, isn't it?
It is, really.
But I also, in that bar, there was clearly a leather man in there who, and we both recognised each other. And my leather dar, my gay dar, leather dar, trans dar, I've got a few dars now.
Dar.
I knew...
LGBTIQ, it's sort of each of one of those is actually represented by a dar or something.
Yeah,
like
dar.
That.
Yeah, the gay dar, the trans dar.
So if they're like a new leather man, do they pass by and have like that new car smell or something? Or
oh my god,
that's actually a good one. Actually, I like the sound of that.
Well, let's describe. He had a big bushy beard. Yeah. He was fit, bald head, tattoo. No,
did you get his address?
Plugs in his ears. And I said, "G'day," and he went, "G'day" back. And I'm thinking, but I'm not gay. What did I do that for? Might be in denial.
I was actually going to say, look, I heard part of it. Actually, I must admit, I had some other personal issues actually going on, so that sort of really held me back. And there were some things I missed in the show, but there was one of the things which really sort of piqued my ears was the idea of seeing Michelle in leather. And I quite like the sound of that. If there's leather corsets involved, look, I'm going to put my hand up for that.
Well,
one
you
as
look
well.
Good in a leather corset, my friend.
I like you. I'm sure we can work on that.
Sydney?
Yeah, I was up there.
June the 11th?
I was actually in Sydney last week. So maybe
really?
Come up again. Yeah.
Why didn't you call me?
Well, next time. Oh, next time, sorry.
I feel rejected.
But
you're what batting them off with a newspaper.
I know,
for the sound of it.
But the question I wanted to ask, and look, it might have already been discussed a little bit earlier, but I just want to try and understand, in terms of obviously with yourself being a trans man coming into the leather community itself, how did that work for you in terms of any sorts of issues associated with transphobia or any other issues associated with that? Was there major problems for you?
Because it was the other.
Well, it's interesting in the transition, and you notice the male privilege. That's the first thing I noticed. I didn't need very much to transition. I didn't need much testosterone in me, as I was already pretty masculine anyway.
You were butch.
Oh, very butch.
You still look butch.
Yeah. Well, yeah, some photos of me 4 years ago, I got long hair. I was a bit girly. But,
really?
You know.
Oh, God. Yeah, you're not a girl. You're a boy.
No, I know. I was a boy pretending, trying to... Anyway, we're not going to go there. Anyway, but to answer the question, there has been some levels of what I would describe as misogyny.
Yeah.
But I think that's actually... It's been there whether I was a female or a male, you know, and I see it. And, you know, the parts of me, because the female part of me, I still accept. Mm-hmm. The male part of me, I'm still sort of getting to know. And it's a real adventure.
Yeah.
Some people know it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't realize how much of a man I am. So apart from going through the boy period, yeah. But there is some... there is a lot there, but I think generally myself as well, I just don't tolerate it.
Yeah.
And I think that's that dominant part of me. So I know trans women that cop, you know, they cop it.
Mm.
But yet at our cocktail parties, I'll always have trans women and drag queens as well that come and are very, very, very celebrated there.
Yeah. I was going to actually ask one. You did mention one word, misogyny.
Yes.
And the idea of like trans misogyny, some people actually think it's quite irrelevant. I think it's actually quite irrelevant as well. But the misogyny...
How so?
I suppose to look at it, I think sort of with misogyny, I think if someone's going to be trans misogynist, it's almost getting to the stage that it's... They're sort of discounting all women themselves.
Oh, no, I completely understand that. Sorry, I was just surprised that there was a lack of trans misogyny. It would be misogyny full stop.
Yeah,
exactly. And I suppose within the leather community, you did mention misogyny.
Yeah.
And from a layman's perspective, I would say that would be obviously against yourself being a trans man in the leather community, but for trans women coming into the leather community as well, would that be the similar sort of situation as well? Or even cisgendered women as well, would there be a degree of misogyny in there? Because it's the actual nature of being leather is quite a masculine kind of thing to exhibit.
There's some very powerful women.
Yeah.
And that's what actually people forget. Within the leather community, there's very powerful women that would not tolerate any level of misogyny. Mm. And that's where, when you're in a community organisation like Sydney Leather Pride or even Vic Leather Pride, I'm sure it happens there as well, is that that's where you get the full force. And when you're sitting in front of somebody who may be misogynist, who doesn't even know that he is or she is... there's some women that are very misogynist as well.
Oh, yeah. No, and I agree completely.
Yeah, yeah, so...
I was going to point up, sorry...
I would treat that as I take them on.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
I was going to point out, before we have to jump to another set of messages, it does surprise me that when we look at misogyny itself, and I know that we're using big terms here, but misogyny that I find interesting is when it's received by trans men, because it really does show that people don't look at gender as physical, mm-hmm. and they don't mm-hmm. look at it as mental. And it's something that I've noticed. Well, I was paneling a couple of shows ago with Megan, and we had some trans men on.
Yes,
and,
that's right.
And they actually found it completely opposite, that they didn't receive male privilege when they transitioned, but it changes for everyone. Mm-hmm. But they were still copying some of the same microaggressions that they did before they transitioned.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's rather gratifying, though, is that although there are moments of this, you've also stated that it's a very... There's a lot of consent. It's always consensual. There's a lot of respect. And although there may be, you know, an influence from the patriarchy, there are still very strong women who are dominant, and they're not always.
Well, one thing I do know is that we have a very strong committee.
Yeah.
And our committee, sometimes it may be that I'm not getting the respect. It's not to do with that I'm trans. It may be because I didn't sit on the committee before I became president. I was voted in as president without doing the hard yards that a lot of other people do. Now, I completely understand that. So I may not receive that respect.
But it may just be due to circumstance rather than...
circumstance. It's just that I was nominated. I said, oh, yeah, I'll do that. No worries. You know, not thinking what I was getting myself into. But I can tell you now, the women on that committee are really powerful. The one woman in particular... Everyone's quiet when she's in a meeting, and I just say, basically, because they have the history, they have the knowledge. There's a man there on the committee who's been there since the Dolphins, and he's a great guy, you know, and he gets the respect because he's done the hard yards. He put money into the organisation to keep it alive. When Sydney Pride Leather started to get into a bit of financial trouble, because, you know, gay pride in Sydney's in a little bit of trouble as well. So the thing is that people come out of the nowhere. So how much money do you need to stay alive? Because we need to keep giving a really positive message. Now, and there's a reason why 50 Shades of Grey is popular, because people want to have a connection with another person. And BDSM, if it's done ethically, with etiquette and with kindness and love, the heart on the leather flag is there for a very good reason. And that's because we love each other. And at the end of the day, play safe with love in your heart for the other person. And just to end on that trans thing is that I just took my hands off the wheel. And that's because of my training, not because I'm trans. Trans has got nothing to do with the hard time I might have got from my committee when I first got on, because I didn't know, who's this Melburnian taking over our Sydney leather?
Sounds crazy.
So we're just getting back down to Sydney and Melbourne.
Yeah, we are. It's the Sydney-Melbourne-da. Yeah. Okay.
Sydney-Melbourne-da. Sorry, Michelle.
Well, it sounds like this giraffe is actually going to come up and visit you sometime soon by the sounds of it. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. It's come to the end of the show. It's been a great show tonight, Lorenzo. Thank you for coming to visit us.
Smack.
Hold hands. No,
hold hands.
I was expecting a smack.
You want a smack?
There you go. Please.
You're good.
Can I have another one, please?
Another one.
Oh, yes.
Later. Oh my God, what have you got on now?
Oh.
No. Go away. Thank you for listening. If you've missed our show tonight, you can listen to our podcast on joy.org.au under Transpositions. We also can be reached on the Apple Store and Play Store for our app and also through our podcasts. Thank you for listening. Good night.
You've been listening to Transpositions. We love your feedback. And if you want to share your own story, email us during the week, transpositions@joy.org.au, or contact us via social media. You'll find all the links at joy.org.au/transpositions. Thank you for listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.